Welcome back, WNST, Taos of Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively getting rid of 2020, getting into 2021, and I think this guy could sell you a car or two 2021 a couple of weeks ago. Certainly could do that over at Coons Ford Security Boulevard, and he'll be with us to ring out 2020 and to welcome 2021, and certainly we're hoping that this time next week, Dennis Colatzis, that we're talking about playoff berths, and are we going to Buffalo? Are we going to Pittsburgh? I put an image up on social media Sunday night. Steve Kornacki had the big board out, you know, and I said, usually I'd be like talking about a bus trip and a hotel and, you know, how are we going to get to Nashville and, you know, all of this. And obviously Nashville, you know, what happened there over the holiday, incredible, but a different kind of plan here. But from a football perspective, they look like they can go on the road and win next week.
It looks like they're peaking at the right time, Nestor. They're playing the best ball of the season, and they still have guys out that are hurt. If Jimmy Smith comes back, for instance, and everybody gets healthy, that secondary, they can make a deep run. Marcus Peters is another player that missed the game the other day. But this team is peaking at the right time, and I couldn't help but think that what a shame it would be for this team to not be in the playoffs. This was before, you know, they kicked off the games at 1 o'clock, having witnessed what happened in Vegas, you know, between the Raiders and the Dolphins, and how the Dolphins came back and beat the Raiders in the last second field goal. So, you know, they're playing the best football of the year, and that's all we can hope for.
You know, basketball, hockey, baseball, they've all tried to do this. And you just brought up a great point that We watched football over the weekend, and look, there have been some Mondays you and I've gotten together. We're like, look, the game stunk yesterday. There weren't great games on the docket. They started playing games on Christmas Day. I picked my wife up from the airport. She flew in from New Hampshire. I had sort of forgotten, and you know, there's New Orleans playing, and then there's all day, you know, blanket to blanket football on Saturday. Not all the games were great. But then there comes that point where you fall asleep on Saturday night. My wife woke up Sunday morning and said, who won? And we're watching the NFL Network. She put it on. She's like, there's a minute left to go. Oh, look at this. I mean, Oakland, Minnesota, or excuse me, Miami. There were great finishes along the line. And I tell you, we're all sucked in on this, right? Like, they put this together. We're going to play at 1 o'clock. The Browns can get eliminated while this is going. Hey, we can get eliminated, right? I mean, this is the excitement that I think we all wanted. And during the middle of a plague where not a whole lot's gone right here this year, Den, I think we'd all agree to that, that at least football's been the one little shining light. And for our shining light, from a Ravens perspective, the fact that it hasn't been perfect, but the fact that they might be playing a playoff game next week in an empty stadium, you know, wherever it'll be, but they have a chance, and they've played pretty good football the last month, and this has been an interesting way to see them put this together without Ronnie Stanley, without Marshall Yanda, without Nick Boyle, and to see what the Gus Bus looks like on the outside.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. All these pieces have come together, and Esther, and I'm excited, just like you are, to watch some playoff football with the Ravens in it, to see if Lamar Jackson can exercise the demons of not having won a playoff game. So, again, for me, let them win a game, let them get in there, and anything can happen, particularly to your point, in playing in stadiums that are nearly empty, right, all over the country. So it's different, but it's been a wonderful distraction. They have limped to the finish line, but somehow they've all made it there, haven't they? And I would think that they would give it some more thought in terms of maybe bubbling the players for a month. The NBA did it for, what, 2 or 3 months. So I don't think it's too much to ask that the players bubble themselves for 30 days to execute the playoffs and the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, look at the Browns, right? They, you know, their room blows up. They lose to the Jets. There's a cautionary tale for everyone. The Titans have been through it. Certainly, I don't know what the Ravens are going through here on New Year's Eve or this week or going to work or whatever, but there can be no building in the league that's had a life lesson, right, for all of them than what happened Thanksgiving week. That, you know, none of them will forget Thanksgiving 2020 and what happened. Now the fines come out, like all of that. But the fact that they can pick up the pieces and put this together the way they have with the offense, whether it's Patrick Bakari, whether it's Matt Skura, Tyree, whoever it is, right? Doesn't matter. They've plugged and they've played and they've moved along, and they're going to have this opportunity to redeem themselves for the Chargers loss, for the Titans loss. And that's for Marlon Humphrey. That's for Orlando Brown, for Lamar, for any of these guys, Brandon Williams, Matt Judon, all these guys that Yeah, it says Ravens on the side. And, you know, I got my Ravens shirt up underneath here as well. You know, I can sport my logo. But, like, it's a little different than the 2013 Ravens. I mean, these are guys that haven't won a playoff game. None of them. Other than Sam Cook and Justin Tucker, right?
Well, you know what, Nestor? They're very well coached. They play good defense, solid defense. They have a great coordinator in Wink Martindale. They run the ball very, very well. And when you can run the ball well, that team can go far in the playoffs. They have special teams. Anytime they cross midfield, they have a huge weapon in Justin Tucker. So they have all the elements, all the components of a team that can make a lot of noise in the playoffs. Contrast that to a team like the Steelers that can't run the ball. That doesn't play well in playoff football in January.
Well, Dennis Colatos is here. He's the Coons Ford Security Boulevard. He'll be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, always on Sunday with the Sunday Sports Voice. You can find him at the D. Colatso Show out on Twitter and opining about all of this, I guess, as we get to the end of the season. Boy, around the league, the Chiefs, you could say, well, we haven't fared well against them, and that would be the trip 2 weeks from now or whenever it's going to be, that if that's where we wind up, can you go out there and beat them? But what has happened with the league now where this whoever's 6-10 is going to make the playoffs in the NFC East, right? Those teams can't get out of their own way. The Titans didn't look like much on Sunday night in Green Bay. Yeah, Buffalo's interesting to me that if we draw that card, I would think that that's the – I would rather be in Pittsburgh next week. I'd be certainly fine with being in Nashville at this point. I think you'll want to avoid Buffalo next week.
Well, again, they're well coached. They can run the ball. Josh Allen has come a long, long way as a quarterback. I wasn't a believer until this year. I'm a believer now. They play good defense. Again, you talk about a team that has all the elements that can make a lot of noise and give the Ravens a lot of trouble. And also the Chiefs and any other team that they face, they have all the weapons. Like you, I prefer to face the Steelers. It's very difficult to beat a team 3 times in 1 year, as we know. And we're a bad matchup for the Steelers. But speaking of bad matchups, we've always been a bad the Bengals have always been a bad matchup for the Ravens. Now I don't know what happens post Marvin Lewis. Maybe we fare better against them. They don't have a quarterback at this point, but I think it underscores the point that this is a week-to-week league. Anything can happen. The Jets have been on a hot streak lately. The Eagles have a quarterback all of a sudden that can make plays and Jalen Hurts it and move the ball. So the hottest teams in the playoffs, right, they're the ones that make the noise. But you have to like the Ravens' chances heading into the tournament, provided they get by the Cincinnati Bengals.
You know, you brought up a great point, because if next week I'm beginning 2021 with the thud of not wearing my purple rope lights that I'm going to, put around myself like I did last year for Festivus, and I have boxes of them. I bought them. Dennis, there's a bad association to those lights. Maybe I keep them in a box now. I bought them back in 2006, if you remember. Yeah. And I decorated all my lights in the condo purple. And it didn't go so well. So I have about 10 sets of rope lights in these green boxes that I keep. And they all still function. They're at the radio. If you need a set or two, let me know.
Okay.
But they haven't been good luck. You know, I don't know what else to say. And looking past Cincinnati is probably not the smartest thing for me to be doing here as I talk with some level of confidence. I mean, I'm confident because of the way they've run the football. I'm confident that the Steelers thing and what happened a month ago in Thanksgiving, that's going to be the life lesson. That's going to be the tough point for them. They certainly have looked like a different franchise since then, right?
They really do, but you have to figure that the Bengals are going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at the Ravens. They're in the role of a spoiler once again. Expect onside kicks, fake punts, flea flickers, anything and everything. And that's the danger where you're playing a team that has absolutely nothing to lose. They're going to play very unconventional football. I would expect them to anyway. And, go for and fourth down from their side of the field. Again, they have nothing to lose, and that's the danger. They have to put them away early, as they've done the last 3 weeks. When we're playing poor teams and playing a competition that's not up to snuff. So they've got to handle their business early.
All right, so I'm going to apologize to you publicly for not making your show on Thursday on Christmas Eve. Wednesday was Thursday. Thursday, we don't know what day it is. I mean, I don't know what year it is. But I missed the show with you because my phone rang and I didn't recognize the number. And I'm going to throw DeLutis under the bus on this one. But I had a topic that was very, very important. And, when I think of Christmas, And you know, I don't have a big family. And this year I did a really cool thing, and I'll bring out a show and tell. Don't let me end the segment without Louis Aparicio, especially when we lost Phil Niekro this week and Tom Seaver. I got a Tom Seaver book back here and all these Hall of Fame baseball players. But it was on the eve of Christmas, and I was thinking about doing the show with you, and I thought about Christmas. I've been home alone for 2 weeks working, building Baltimore Positive bigger and better, and going through a whole bunch of archival stuff, as I always do during the holidays. And I thought about my dear friend, John Raphaelides, losing his pop, Pete. And I'd forgotten that you knew Pete, but I thought about every Christmas that John would come home from his Greek Christmas morning with his family, and he would bring all of the bakery items. And there were these little powdered sugar things, and they're not like Italian cookies where they crunch, because they sort of crunch, but they're sort of soft, and they're just delicious. And I never knew what they were called, other than I thought of this thing last week. I thought, man, coffee, wouldn't that be good? Eggnog, we're talking so much ice cream. And I started to think about when I was younger, and the parties I threw on Kane Street when I was a little boy, and my parents, and things that I love about Christmas. And I thought, man, I wish I could think of those cookies. And I was going to make this a segment with you on Wednesday, and I didn't do it. So everything I just did, I was going to do on Wednesday, and I didn't get a chance to do it. And then I'd like text you, and I said, look, man, and I can find the text in here because it's right in the thread when I text you today. So I'll let everybody in on the whole background on this, because everybody needs to be in on this because it's really, really important. So I sent you a thing, and I said I had a whole topic on Greek cookies that my roommate had at Christmas. Powdered sugar, soft and buttery. It's right here inside, melted in my mouth, bite size, maybe some kind of nut in them. And you said they are – now pronounce that for me, Dennis, because it's very important.
Yeah, it's pronounced curambiedes, curambiedes.
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 No wonder when I went into the double T and I asked from the other day, I didn't say, I called them
curambiedes.
Curambiedes is what I would thought it
you're,
was.
You're close, though. You're close.
Say that again. Curan.
Curambiedes. Curambiedes.
Biedes. All right. I called them curambiedes because that's. Like, hold on. Let me phonetically work it out, because I want people to be able to see. That looks like corambithis. Corambithis, right? So that's what I said. And my wife's like, what the hell do you want corned beef for? We got ham here. And I knew I was pronouncing it wrong. How about that?
Yeah.
All right.
You're right. It's a wonderful dessert. It crumbles and melts in your mouth, right? That's what it does. The nut in it is walnut, a little bit of crushed walnut in there. As Greek people use a lot of walnut in curambiedes and baklava and whatnot. And then my uncle, my mother's youngest brother, brought me a whole tray of curambiedes and baklava and the Greek biscotta. So really, really great desserts this time of the year. You don't find too many Greek people. We're all big people.
So here's what happened. I'm going to give everybody the time. It's a great story about the power of the radio and the internet. Okay. So you give me the name of them, right? Look, mm-hmm. It's Wednesday. It's before Christmas. There's nothing going on. I'm not shopping. I'm working. I'm feeding the cat. I'm literally just working. And part of what I did was I went through family pictures and I digitized stuff. I found my parents' wedding album from 1966, just some cool stuff, right? So you give me the name of it. And the first thing I did was I hit Google and the picture comes up and I'm like, yeah, that's it. And it says Greek Christmas cookies. And I'm like, all right, I haven't had these things in like 25 years, maybe. I mean, Raphaelides and I lived together from 89 to maybe like 94. And then he lived in that house for a few more years on Kane Street. So like, I haven't had those in 25 years, right? Mm-hmm. And I still visited with Pete and his mom, like maybe 20 years. And I never knew the name of them. Mr. Pete would bring them to me. And I told you, Mr. Pete and I went to the 1983 Game 2 ALCS that Mike Boddicker threw the shutout, right? And he took me to the game. And we lost Mr. Pete this year. And so I said to my son, who was running around on Christmas Eve, my son said, Dad, can I get you something? And I said, look, I sent him I want to learn how to say Corambiethis.
Corambiethis. Biethis. Biethis. Biethis.
That's not in my tongue. My tongue doesn't roll that way.
Yeah, it's B-I-E-T-H-E-S. Biethis. Corambiethis.
Corambiethis. Corambiethis. Okay, good. I'm working on this,
right?
You got
it. You're getting
it. It's all scatata in me. So that's because of Mark Cornius. He taught me that in second grade. So there, I found that picture too. So you send me your picture of your mother's brother's Uncle George, right? So you send me your things. My son went over, and I want this is a free plug for I don't know who owns Yaya's or whatever.
Yep.
This is a free plug for the folks out in White Marsh. All right. My son brought me this to my home on Christmas Day. This was his Christmas gift to me. What are these things called here? The little brown guys that do you know what that's called?
I can't see the screen, but I'm going to assume Melomacarona is what they're called. If they're brown.
Yeah. That somebody wrote brown. That on the internet. That's
you know
exactly
what?
What
my uncle's going to bring me another tray New Year's Day.
They're like baklava cookies, right? Like
they
some
are.
Kind of.
But I'm going to get a big tray, and I'm going to save some for you and your family. He's going to bring me a big tray of all kind of different Greek desserts and sweets.
So my son tried calling me. Same thing Deludis tried the day before, and my phone's not on, right? My son tried calling me from the bakery to see what I wanted. You know what I wanted? I wanted a dozen of them, right? He brought four. And then took one. And then my wife came home, and I couldn't be a jerk, so I had to give her one. So I only got two. Now, I got, you know, I had, listen, the little, give me the second word I'm learning today.
Melomacarona.
Melomaracana. No.
Macarona.
Macarona.
Like macarena, except macarona. Macarona.
I'm working, man. I'm trying. I'm really doing my best.
I'm
going to
send you
right?
a whole bunch of desserts with the phonetically spelled because there's kataifi. There's all kind of wonderful galaktomburiko, which we call let your booty grow. It's one of it's custard with phyllo dough and honey and lukumadas, the dough
balls. All the things I love.
Phenomenal desserts in the Greek culture.
Well, I'm glad you and I talk about this because. And I'm glad to have a friend like you in my life that I can talk because we talk about peach cake, we talk about eggnog, we talk about pumpkin spice latte ice cream, we talk about a sweet potato crumble ice cream that I've had that nobody else has. I have to tap on that because I want people to be able to like I want it to come into full focus how delicious the holidays can be. And as you know, portion control. So my son did that for me. I wanted a dozen cookies. He said, "Dad, you get three and you give one to Jen." And this is. So now I got to get in the car and go get another dozen if I want to go get them today.
With Greek people, there's no such thing as portion control. We don't have a word. We don't have two words. We don't have a word for taxes, and we don't have a word for portion control.
The minute he left here on Christmas, I went to the – I made some Rofo decaf. I put some coffee together, and I just – I'm sitting there, and I had one bite of it, Dan. After talking to you about it for a day, wondering if I could get it, wondering where I could really just go in the car to go and get it. I called Samos. They didn't have it. My son gets it, sends me a picture of it, and then I actually get to eat it. There's that moment where you make the coffee, you know, you wait for it to warm up, you look at the powdered sugar, and I hadn't tasted it in 20 years. It's kind of like that onion ring I got at Ruth's Chris 2 months ago that was the Burke's onion ring. There's that point where you look at it and you're like, God, I haven't had this in so long. And you grab it and you eat it and you're like, ah, man, I love you, Mr. Pete. You know what I mean? Makes you think of people, right? And I've Absolutely. Looked at all these pictures. I actually touched my American Championship Series ticket from 1983. I had it in my hand the other day. And you know what? As you get older, I didn't cry at all. I found all these pictures of my dad. You know, I told a story last week, and maybe this will ring a bell for you, Dan. You're a little older than me, okay? Are you older than me or are you younger than me?
I've got you by a few years. I'm 56.
Okay, so you're a little older than me. So see if you can help me with this. In the 1960s, there was a thing called Safe Home or SH. It was an orange like this here. Bright day glow orange sign that was on my parents' home. It said SH, safe house. And I don't know exactly what it meant, but I think it meant like if you know you're in trouble, this is a door you could knock on. I have pictures of it. And I talked to Don Moeller about this last week. And I want to find people that know about it. A nice man sent me a beautiful email yesterday with, and it was something Canadian about it. but I can't find the whole story. But Dan, and I know you'll love this, and I'm gonna do show and tell with you. I'm gonna pull the pictures up next week when we get together.
Okay.
I found a picture of a boy named Michael Bond that I grew up with throwing a dodgeball at Colgate Elementary, and in the background is the water tower, the original East Point Mall water tower. So I found that, and I found a picture of my aunt with this safe house that I talked to Don about this 2 weeks ago because it's my 29th anniversary, and we talked about growing up in Dundalk and my parents and, you know, how special my parents were. And this SH thing showed up in one picture, in an image, and I'm going to like blow it up and I'm going to find it, and I'm certainly going to blow up the East Point Mall tower. I'm going to put some pictures up to start the new year of these pictures I found, but I need to learn about SH, and I need to find some more tower pictures and weird old stuff that I can only bring up with people that are older than me that may remember this stuff.
So yeah, you know, I remember that tower well. I used to fish there off of Back River Bridge back when you could fish. And so I do have a lot of, you know, I grew up in Essex, so I do have a lot of fond memories of that area and grew up running around East Point Mall. You take the bus to get there.
I had to walk across the street, man. You well, were the ones there. That showed up there on Friday and Saturday nights walking around saying, EVT, is that right?
That's exactly right. We were the Essex thugs, you know, although there was not much thuggish about us. We were a bunch of nerds from Eastern Tech. So,
well, you know what? I brought up the Penguins at East Point Mall a couple of months ago, and it set off the internet. Do you remember that?
I do. Absolutely.
Now, I barely remember that. You know, I remember the water tower and all of that. But I'm going to be jarring people's memories. I found some pictures, some really cool old stuff. And I'm going to start tickling some old friends because I haven't had a chance to see anybody. You know, this year was our 35th high school reunion, and we didn't get to have a party.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. Not good. Next year will be my 40th high school reunion because I started school a year early. So I should have graduated in 82, but I graduated 81. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully we can pull it off.
Class of 81. Who had more fun than 81? There you go. 21 and
no
fun.
One. Nobody. Nobody did.
Well, 85 kept it alive now. Come on. I found all my old stuff.
It's a great time of the year. And the last point I'll make with you is when I have, you know, aunts and uncles baking these goodies for me, it's just such a labor of love. I mean, these desserts taste so much better because, you know what, they take a lot of pride, a lot of love in putting it together. So anytime they bring me something like that, I really treasure it and value it.
You know what? This is where if my wife, I could yell and bring her in here, she would absolutely echo your sentiments because I sent her this thing and she literally was in a Greek restaurant when I was looking, when you and I were hitting each other. She was in New Hampshire at a place called the Puritan Back Room. It's a fantastic place. She brought me home chicken tenders that you could only get there. She froze them. So it's really, it's good. I haven't even had them yet. I'm really looking forward to it, right? Probably happened during the game or whatever this week. So she was in a Greek place. I said, hey, there's a bakery there. See if they have these things. She's like, you know, it's not that kind. They don't have, it's not a bakery. It's an ice cream shop. Okay, they don't have it. Great. So she then like got the recipe. She went on like thinking, well, I can bake them. I'm like, you're not baking these. I mean, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And one of her dearest friends in the whole world is Jimmy, who's Greek, who's, she's always doing the lamb chop. She's always at Jimmy's tailgate, right? And she said, I'll ask Jimmy. But if I ask Jimmy where he can get the best one, Jimmy's going to say his grandmother.
And she won't give up the recipe. They hold on to those recipes until the very end. They hand them down on her deathbed or right before it.
Well, I'm going to do my best. Now, can I ask you this? It's very important. Curam beatus. Did I say that right?
Close. Curam beatus. Curam beatus.
I did. I'm pretty 15 minutes in. Will they disappear next week? Is it like eggnog where like,
No.
Say to somebody, I want a curam beatus in May, can I get one or no?
You can get them year round. They're not confined just to the holidays, but you can get them anytime.
So it's not like eggnog. See, I was very, very worried that like if I didn't run out and get them today, that it'd be like wanting eggnog in July. You're just not going to find it, right?
You know, at every Greek church on every Sunday after service, they have coffee hour for the congregation, for the members. There's all these things you name are usually there because all the, you know, especially the widowed women of the churches, they bake and they bring those baked goods to the churches.
Are you sure I'm not Greek? I mean, a Nestor and a half, maybe?
Look,
no?
There's two kind of people, those who are Greek and those who want to be Greek. We know that.
It's always good to visit with you, man. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Don't gain too much weight. I mean, for all of us, you know, I know you're working out. I'm trying.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I've been sitting on ice for a month, and today is the first day, and maybe it's the relief of Festivus maybe coming, that my back feels better. So shout out to Dr. Steve. But to better tidings and the cheers. If I had champagne, I would toast you right now. But to a happy 21. We'll get together later on in the week on your show. And hopefully we're talking this time next week about, you know, Festivus. I mean, this is
Festivus.
It's getting to be the good times, and we'll talk about 2021 cookies. I love the conversation on the cookies. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. Have a great rest of your day. Be well. Thank you.
The Colazzo Show, the way to find him, or you can find him here Thursday from 3 until 5. He won't be talking about Christmas cookies, although that was an enlightening segment for me. And I will do some show and tell to start 2021 as I've gone through and I found all of this stuff that I've accumulated through my 52 years. Nothing finer than my parents' wedding photographs, though. That was fun. And finding a scanner, I was going to show this to Den, but I'll show it to the audience here at the end. I found this old Louis Aparicio piece from the News American in 1964, The King of Thieves. And I'm going to put this up on the internet. If you're listening on AM 1570 and not watching on the internet, I will make it an official show and tell as we decorate the studios here for 2021. I can do better than like a Zoom background. I got a real leg lamp. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore sports and stuff and Greek cookies for the holidays.